Today's program has been brought to you by Tabard Inn, New American Cuisine in one of Washington, D.C.'s oldest hotels, located in DuPont Circle. For more information, visit TabardInn.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Listening to Let's Get Real, the cooking show about finding, preparing, and eating food on Heritage Radio Network. I'm Erica Wides, your host. So we have a really big announcement to make here today in the Foodiness Fallout Shelter. Now, as you know, if you've been listening, I left my full-time teaching job at the culinary school way back in March, and I have been working furiously as a consultant since then, consulting on this, consulting on that. All kinds of consulting. Everybody wants to consult with me, and can you really blame them? I mean, they're smart people. And since consulting is so lucrative, theoretically at least, it's allowing me to pour every last cent that I make outside of the Fallout Shelter back into the Fallout Shelter and the Foodiness Reeducation Camp and the Foodiness Time Machine, which we're converting to biodiesel shortly, and to renovating the rabbit hole because it's seen a little neglect, and all of the other infrastructure that it takes to make Let's Get Real your one-stop shop in the anti-foodiness universe. And so now, as a consultant, since I just got paid a little chunk of change yesterday to tell a large multinational food company whose name shall remain anonymous what the next food trends are, yes, you heard me right. A large, unnamed multinational food company hired me, along with my esteemed Heritage Radio Network fellow host, the charming Mitchell Davis, and two other people to be on a panel together, where we told them what we thought would be the next and future trends in food. Seriously, me. That would be like Ted Cruz hiring Gloria Steinem as a consultant on women's issues, or Hitler holding a focus group with a bunch of rabbis to talk about the Jewish problem. But they wanted me, so I'm taking that money and I'm going to put it to good use. And by good use, I mean that we have purchased a pristine, fully refurbished and retrofitted state-of-the-art circa 1972 vintage yellow school bus. The very same kind that I rode every morning from September to June for 12 years of my life. The classic suburban yellow school bus. And through great diligence by the Let's Get Real research team and a great stroke of luck, this is in fact the actual bus that I, your host, accidentally boarded one early autumn morning in 1974, thinking that it was my school bus that would take me to first grade at my school, when it was in fact a bus from another school district. And I wound up several miles away from home at not just the wrong school, but in the wrong district, at which point my mother was called to come and pick me up and deliver me, humiliated and traumatized and tardy, to my abusive first grade teacher's classroom. Now, yeah, those were different times when you let your six-year-old walk down the street to the bus stop alone at 7 a.m. by herself to board whatever school bus happened to come along, past the eyes of the bus driver who was too busy smoking, which is what people did back then while driving instead of texting, to realize that the little bespectacled nerdlet climbing those big school bus steps was not, in fact, a pupil of the Port Jefferson school system, but, in fact, a taxpayer from the Three Village school system. I was the one to realize it right away as the bus turned toward the next town and not toward my school's direction. But did the driver just turn around and take me back to my bus stop? Oh, no. She kept going and delivered my traumatized six-year-old self to Scraggy Hill Elementary School, not Minnesota Elementary School, which was my school, at which point the phone call to my mother was placed. Now, luckily, she was a stay-at-home mom and was actually at home. There were no cell phones. There were no answering machines. So luckily, she was there. No morning Pilates or tennis games. She was probably home furiously sewing more embarrassingly nerdy little outfits for her chubby first grader while her pot roast cooked for 9 hours or so. So anyway, thanks to the crack research team here in the Foodiness Fallout Shelter, we have retrieved that actual bus from the bus graveyard, fixed it up, redesigned it to run on grape jelly flavored vodka, pulled out the old hard seatbeltless bench seating, and replaced them with comfy, oversized, infantilized adult car seats, complete with cup holders and personal touchscreens and little nap hoods. And we're taking the show on the road. It's like our very own grown-up version of the Partridge Family bus, but with much better hair and no tambourine playing. Now, we have hired Danny Bonaducci, though, to be our driver, since he's fallen on some hard times lately, and he needed a little break. So the bus, otherwise and forever going forward, now known as the FUV, or the Foodiness Unearthing Vessel, is up and running and ready to go. And we're coming to a town near you. So this past week, we took the bus out for our inaugural spin to test it out, to make sure the touchscreens and the Wi-Fi worked, and that we had enough grape jelly vodka in the tank. And we've also made sure that she'll run on the discontinued flavors of vodka that didn't really sell all that well, like the vodka-flavored vodka or the martini-flavored vodka. Now, as you know, every few months, I like to take a step back and look around and evaluate all that's happened in the foodiness universe and then talk to you about those things. I call them the Trending Now shows. And the real purpose of the FUV is to allow us to travel physically and not just digitally around the globe to bring you the newest, freshest, most fascinating and simultaneously repellent stories about the foodiness universe that we can find. The FUV, by the way, can also fly and is amphibious also. We have to think about the future, and Brooklyn is right at sea level after all, so we had to kind of think ahead about that. And also, it has a mobile radio and TV transmitter and a satellite dish on the roof, as well as being, of course, Wi-Fi connected. So here and now, for the first time, is our all-new Trending Now live from the Mobile Foodiness Unearthing Vessel. The FUV. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, the latest Trending Now.
Today's break song is 4 of 7 by Jack Inslee. You're listening to Let's Get Real. The following program has been brought to you by Tabard Inn. Tabard Inn, Washington, D.C.'s quintessential small hotel, is located on a quiet, tree-lined street just 5 blocks from the White House. Vibrant yet unassuming, the Tabard is comprised of 40 sleeping rooms, each unique in character and design. Feast on eclectic American cuisine in their acclaimed restaurant, or enjoy a cocktail and listen to live jazz in one of their cozy Victorian seating areas. Mingle with travelers from around the world who find the Tabard the only place to stay when taking their travels to Washington. For more information, visit tabardinn.com.
Welcome back to Let's Get Real, the cooking show about finding, preparing, and eating food on Heritage Radio Network. I'm Erica Weitz, your host. And welcome back to the first live broadcast of Let's Get Real's Trending Now, beaming straight to you via the grape jelly-flavored, vodka-powered FUV former school bus. Our first topic tonight on Trending Now is it finally the end of fat phobia? So 2 weeks ago, I went to see my dentist for my biannual cleaning. Now, I have gone to the same all-gay dental practice in Chelsea for over 20 years, since before the mommies and the juice and the ATMs moved in. And at my dental practice, they play show tunes, and they have pictures of Liza Minnelli and Wonder Woman on the walls, and a display of dentist-themed Barbies in the reception area, and you get the idea. But I love going there, and I love my dentist, and for many years now, my hygienist has been a lovely, sweet man named Juan Carlos, a Cuban-America who fled his, Cuban-American, who fled his native Cuba in the Mariel boat lift in 1980 because he knew that as a 19-year-old gay man, he would never be able to live in Castro's repressive, homophobic culture safely or comfortably. So he emigrated when he had a chance, and he's lived here since then, and he came here, and he went to college, and he lived the American dream, and now he's a dental hygienist, and I love him. He's one of the nicest, warmest people I've ever met, and I actually look forward to my dental appointments just so I can see him. Now, Juan Carlos, being a lover of food, and especially a lover of his native Cuban food and other Latin food, likes to talk about food with me. And like all of us, he's put on a few pounds as he's gotten older. Well, actually not like all of us, since I've actually gotten thinner as I've gotten older, having finally learned what to eat and how to make it work for me. And I work out like an insane person, but that's another story. I used to be pretty fat, and it'll always be a challenge for me to keep it in check. But anyway, Juan Carlos has gotten a little bit chubby lately, so he decided to go on Weight Watchers, and he lost a bunch of weight about a year ago. Then, of course, what happened? Some of the weight came back. So when I saw him this last time, we, of course, discussed that. I didn't mention it. He brought it up. Now, I know that Weight Watchers tends to work for people, and if it works for you, great. Keep at it. Rock on. But I also know that people tend to regain weight after they lose it. I've struggled with that my whole life. So Juan Carlos was telling me about recently visiting his sister in Miami. Now, his sister only left Cuba a few years ago. He finally was able to get them out. He got them the visas. He sponsored them. It was a very big deal. He finally got out his sister and his niece, and they settled in Miami because they felt more comfortable there. And he went down to visit her recently, and they had a party. And at the party, they had a roasted pig, because that's what you do. And he was telling me about the food and about the pig. And he was then telling me the story about how the next morning, his sister took the leftover rice and beans and vegetables and stuff and fried it all up in the pig fat. Now, Juan Carlos told me this with a look of absolute horror on his face, expecting me to mirror that horror back to him, even though his hand was in my mouth, scraping off the tiny bit of tartar that I had since I do practice good oral hygiene, and his face was only about 6 inches from me. And as he looked at me for my reaction, expecting me to say, "Oh my God, pig fat, is she crazy? Does she want to kill everyone in the family? Doesn't she know about animal fats and cholesterol and heart disease and everything else terrible that will happen if she cooks her food in the ancient traditional way that her culture and everyone else in the world has done since humans started cooking, but now don't because the agri-industrial complex decided they needed to sell us more corn and grain and vegetable oils, and so they falsified research to prove a link between animal fats and heart disease, but it's not really true, and it turns out that animal fats prevent heart disease, and vegetable oils and margarines are the things that are killing us, but holy shit, what was she thinking?" That's what he expected. And instead I said, "Great, that's what she should be doing, etc. See above previous statement." And he was the one who looked horrified, and he removed his hand and his little scrapey tool from my mouth, and he looked like I had just told him he was being deported back to Cuba. Because it turns out that a diet high in fat, especially animal fats from pastured animals, is really good for you. And it turns out that all those fakey fats like margarine and Crisco and vegetable oils, except good olive oil, but that's another show, are really bad and are probably what's been killing us all along with too much processed flour and grain and sugar. But you all know that, because you listen to this show. But Juan Carlos, along with all the rest of us for a very long time, swallowed the message about fat. Fat is bad. Fat makes you fat. Animal fats will kill you. And so his sister, who's only been here a few years and is still in shock at how abundant and cheap our food is after 50 years of Cuban deprivation, was just doing what comes naturally to her, cooking her leftovers in tasty, plentiful, and available pig fat. Now, unfortunately, that pig that she cooked was most definitely not raised in a backyard in rural Cuba, rooting around, eating yuca scraps and leftover beans and bugs and dirt. It was an American pig, raised on corn and soy and antibiotics and hormones and probably expired candy. So it probably didn't have the same health benefits to its fat that we'd like it to have. But the point is that Juan Carlos, like so many millions of other people, have swallowed the fat-free Kool-Aid and still think that fat is what makes you fat and that it kills you and that it's bad. So, trending now, guess what? It's not true. So, of course, we know, meaning us, the liberal, informed food world elite, us, and we've known for almost three decades now that fat isn't so bad, but that trans fats are the devil's work. You know, those fake hydrogenated vegetable oils and shortenings that were invented after World War I, maybe as the true final solution, but we won't talk about that, and became the norm in so many foodiness products and in people's home cooking. Better for you, more modern, healthier, brought to you by science, and we all bought it for a while. But then in the late 70s, a small but vocal group of scientists started presenting research to the contrary and were immediately silenced. They had pressured the FDA starting in 1978 to ban trans fats, but it took 35 years to finally get the message through. And so trending now, finally, 3.5 decades later, the trans fat ban is about to go through. 8 years, may I point out, after Bloomberg banned them in restaurants in New York City, FYI. So when I asked Juan Carlos what he eats for breakfast, he said, oh, a granola bar and a banana. And I told him that he was just asking to be fat and diabetic, since that's like eating a donut and a Twix bar for breakfast, sugar-wise. I told him to start eating more fat and less sugar and fewer white carbs and more vegetables, and then I'd see him again in 6 months for a checkup. He looked so stunned by the news about fat, I thought he was going to cry. He couldn't believe it, that he and everyone else had been so wrong for so long. The fat phobia has run its course. It's like the Castro regime, an outdated, terrible idea with devastating consequences for millions of people. Let's finally end both of them. Now. We're going to take another little quickie break. When we come back, more Trending Now.
This is another one by Jack Inslee, the remix of Jones by Jade. You're listening to Let's Get Real.
Welcome back to Let's Get Real, the cooking show about finding, preparing, and eating food. That was eating food on Heritage Radio Network. I'm Erica Wides, your host. Now remember, if you are a fan of this show, you should be following me on Twitter at Let's Get Real Show. My goal by the end of the year is to get 50,000 new Twitter followers by Christmas. You think we can do it? I don't know. I only have about 450 at this point. Remember, you can also find Let's Get Real on Facebook, and you can also listen to any Let's Get Real show on letsgetrealshow.com, but you can also listen to them on heritageradionetwork.org or on iTunes, along with any other Heritage Radio Network show ever made in the history of the network, which goes back a very long time now. It's all out there. So welcome back to our Trending Now show. We're in the bus, the new FUV, the foodiness unearthing vessel. That we have fixed up, and it's part of our fleet now of foodiness fighting equipment, paraphernalia. So we're still talking about fat and our fat phobia, and we can't seem to shake the fat phobia, no matter how much aversion therapy we go through or how many foodiness re-education camp sessions we attend about it. Enough about fearing the fat. Okay, let's get over it. It's not the 90s anymore. We've learned from our mistakes. The fat phobia stops now. But no, what's coming up next down the foodiness highway as we pilot the FUV on our first Trending Now on the road? Well, it's something we've all been eagerly awaiting for since at least the mid-90s. A little late, a little behind the curve, it's the Slimcado. Yes, a lower-fat avocado. Trademarked the Slimcado. The Slimcado is a lower-fat avocado. Brought to you by who? Whom? Big Ag. Now, as you can enjoy, and as you sit back and enjoy your quart-sized bowl of guacamole with the two-pound bag of chips as you watch the Super Bowl in your giant recliner and not gain an ounce because the Slimcado is what you made your guacamole from, and the Slimcado is a low-fat food. And we know that fat makes us fat, right? So indulge away with no worries. It's not the two-pound bag of chips that's making you fat, of course. It's that quart of avocado. You know what? Don't even get up to get the Slimcado from the store. We'll bring you a case of them when the FUV drives by your house shortly. We're coming to your neighborhood. We're going to leave a case of them by the front door, and you can just send the nanny out to get the box, okay? I mean, the nanny, she needs exercise now because now you've let her start driving your SUV, and now she's driving the kids out to the backyard so that they don't have to walk to their Kim Kardashian-designed swing set with automatic swinging mechanism built in so they don't even have to pump their legs anymore to get the swings to go. So the nanny's been getting a little thick around the middle now that she's been driving so much, so let her get the Slimcados from the front step. It'll bring back sweet memories of her girlhood in Cuba for her. And our last Trending Now topic is the best one of all. This is really going to rock your world. More than Juan Carlos was rocked by the fat news, more than my mind was rocked when the anonymous multinational food corporation hired me to talk to them, more than Danny Bonaducci was rocked when his career tanked after playing Danny Partridge, more than... Okay, you get it. So it turns out that in the wacky world of food labeling, there was never any definition or any rules regulating the use of the term all natural. Mm-hmm. Yep. All natural never meant a thing. You could slap that label on just about anything as long as it was basically made out of food, had no artificial colors or flavors or synthetic substances in it. The FDA was okay with it being called all natural. So what would have to be in it to disqualify it as all natural? I mean, all kinds of food products are called all natural, even when they're full of freaky foodiness ingredients. Now, am I missing something here? Okay, so wait. You can't actually call something all natural if there are chemicals in it, right? Oh, I get it. I know. Now I understand. It's not them. It's me. It's me who's crazy, right? I mean, chemicals are just made from the elements, which come from the earth. It's not like anything we eat doesn't actually originate in some form on earth. We're not importing anything from other planets yet. So how can anything not be all natural, right? Well, pack up my Pringles and send me back to Cuba, because I guess not. Because finally, after years and years of dithering and dicking around, the FDA has decided that you can't call something all natural if it isn't. That would be what Stephen Colbert called truthiness, as in the truthiness of naked juice calling itself 100% all natural, even if it is owned by Pepsi and has synthetic fiber and chemically derived vitamins added to it. Uh-oh, you guys are in trouble. It's lawsuit time. Now, the FDA says it's difficult to define a food product that is natural since it has likely been processed and is no longer a product of the earth. Not if you don't add corn syrup or lab-made ingredients, it isn't. Now, Michelle Simon, a public health lawyer and critic of the food industry marketing practices, noted that there are numerous cases making their way through the legal system because of food companies' use of the word natural. She said that the PepsiCo case was notable because the company was in essence addressing the murkiness of the word with the settlement. Now, Ben & Jerry's, by the way, is another one whose use of all natural is now being challenged. They'll be dropping the phrase all natural from some of their ice cream and frozen yogurt cartons they announced recently because they contain alkalized cocoa, corn syrup, and partially hydrogenated soybean oil. Now, all this particularly irks the folks over at the Center for Science in the Public Interest, who had asked the company to stop using all natural claims last month in a letter to their parent company, Unilever. So apparently the USDA allows meat and poultry to be labeled natural if they don't include artificial colors or ingredients and are not more than minimally processed. But the rest of the food supply's definition of natural is up for grabs. So wait, let me get this straight. Meat and poultry can be labeled natural if they don't include artificial color or ingredients. So if I have a chicken and I don't dye it yellow, but I feed it corn and soybeans and old candy and antibiotics and hormones, but I don't process it very much other than what, killing it and plucking it, it's all natural. I'm confused. The FDA doesn't define the word natural either, so it's used by a variety of food manufacturers in an effort to imply that their products are somehow better for us. Does that sound familiar? It's a foodiness free-for-all, as we all know, but we all know better, too. Here's a quote from CSPI's Michael Jacobson. The Food and Drug Administration could do consumers and food manufacturers a great service by actually defining when the word natural can and cannot be used to characterize a given ingredient. Indeedy, I wholeheartedly agree. So trending now, all natural? We're not so sure what that means. We're not really sure what the definition will be. I'm not so sure that I believe that it's really going to imply anything other than basically fucked with. And trending now, Naked Juice, owned by Pepsi. I don't drink juice anyway, so I'll pass on that. So until the day comes when all natural actually means something, and until the day comes when we finally move beyond our fat phobia, you can find me giving my humble opinion to all the big multinational food companies around the U.S. driving around in the big yellow school bus that we have now converted to the foodiness unearthing vessel. But until then, you're going to have to hear it from me here and keep tuning in to Let's Get Real so that you don't eat shit intentionally or accidentally or in a bottle of Naked Juice. So it's time for the FUV to be heading back to the landing pad now. She served us well on her maiden voyage, and we're starting to run low in the tank of our grape jelly flavored vodka. So that's going to be all for this week's Trending Now episode. Make sure you tune in live every week or listen on iTunes or heritageradionetwork.org or Let's Get Real Show. Until then, we'll see you next week. Thanks to Jack Inslee for sitting in the control room tonight. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.